Before we get started with today's episode, a quick word from our sponsor. If you're like me, you're probably doing a little spring cleaning, not just around the house, but around your business too. Well, why not reduce your digital clutter with NetSuite by Oracle? You can reduce costs and headaches in the process. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and with one source of truth. And with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, go from many to just one. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have made the move. Cut costs, boost performance, and reduce digital clutter. That is a smart move for sure. So by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just head to netsuite.com/SPI. That's netsuite.com/SPI, netsuite.com/SPI.
This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 211.
We were born for this.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, he cooks a mean French onion soup, Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Plus, their matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You can ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love how simple Indeed is, and it manages everything. Again, all in one place, from the screenings to the messagings, interviewing. You can do it all from Indeed, which makes it super easy to hire the right person that you need. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order.
What's up, everybody? Pat Flynn here. Thank you so much for joining me today in session 211 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. That song at the beginning was a song called Born for This by Paramore. Some of the younger folk in the crowd might know about that band. But anyway, the purpose of that was to talk about Born for This, a brand new book by Chris Guillebeau, who's been on the show before. There's so many people in this world I respect, but Chris is up there at the top because he's just done so much for the world and for helping change a lot of people's lives. He has a summit that goes on every single year called World Domination Summit. It happens in Portland. I've been several times before, and it's one of the coolest gatherings of some of the coolest people around who are all there to help inspire each other and help each other get to wherever they want to go in life. And Chris is just such a kind and amazing guy, but also a very smart person. He has been able to create this raving fan base around what he's done. And we're going to talk today about how he's been able to do that, how he's been able to grow this conference from just a couple hundred people, I think, when it first started out, to now thousands of people and tickets selling out every single year and venues not even being big enough for what he has been able to put on here. It's really amazing what he's done. So we're going to talk about that. But I also wanted to talk about his brand new book. It's called Born for This. And really, it's about that, how to find the work you were meant to do. That's the subtitle. He's also the author of a bestseller, The $100 Startup, or The $100 Startup, and also The Happiness of Pursuit, which is one of my favorite titles of a book ever. But this one is great. And this one, he shares a lot of, not just principles. I mean, that's the thing about this book that I think is a different and a standout thing about it compared to other kind of help you find the work that you're meant to do type of books. This actually walks you through some steps and gives you actionable advice that you could take and actually see results from to help you find the work that you were born to do. So let's just get right into the interview. Again, this is Chris Guillebeau from chrisguillebeau.com. Here we go. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm so happy to welcome back Chris Guillebeau to the show. Chris, welcome back. Thank you for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me again.
Dude, so last time you were on the show, it was episode 38, and you know, this is 200 and something right now. That was, what, 4 years ago, almost to the date. And so a lot has happened since then. But one thing that has continued to happen and grow is your summit, World Domination Summit, which happens in Portland every year. I've had the pleasure of attending a couple times. It's one of the coolest, most unique events out there. Really quickly, I'm just very curious, how are you able to keep this going and growing? I think a lot of people want to create a tribe like you have, and to have people come from around the world to Portland to come and be together and to be there with you and all the other amazing people you have. Like, how are you able to make this all happen?
Yeah, well, it has been quite a while since we talked on the show, and so much has happened with you as well. It's been fantastic to follow your journey.
Thank you.
You know, I'm a big fan of Will It Fly, as you know, and I've been following the income reports. And it's just great to see, like, you and lots of other folks, like how we've all come up, and hopefully the best is yet to come. And as for WDS, you know, as you know, it's been a labor of love. It's something that I do for love, not for money. You know, we take in quite a you know, significant amount of revenue in terms of ticket sales, but then we invest the entire amount, you know, into producing the event, and any profits go to our foundation, which provides scholarships for real life. So you know, the motivation is it's just a lot of fun. It's really great to bring interesting, remarkable people together. And so every year I kind of spend a ton of time working on it, and I'm like, well, you know, do I want to keep this going? But then when we actually do it, you know, it's like, oh, you know, this is why we do it. It's very rewarding. And people like you and maybe some of the listeners who have been, it's just a fun experience. So as for how it, you know, keeps growing or continuing, I guess we just try to keep it fresh. You know, we just try to not just do the same thing every year. And maybe we look at what works and we do more of that. And if something doesn't work, that's okay. You know, we're willing to take some risks and experiment with different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And one thing you do every year is you try to break a world record of some kind, which is awesome. Do we have any plans for this year that you can talk about yet?
You know, what's so funny is that was never intended to be a tradition. You know, like adventure has always been one of the three themes. It's community, adventure, and service. And so a few years ago, it was like, okay, you know, what is an expression or an act of adventure? And that turned into this quest of like, let's like shatter, you know, a Guinness World Record. And so, you know, we put 1,000 people on the Willamette River and formed this human chain. And so that was cool. And but then everybody was like, well, what's next year's, you know, world record? I'm like, okay, I thought it was a one-off, you know. So now we've done it three different times with three different records. I don't know if we'll actually have a world record this year, but we'll definitely have, you know, we'll definitely continue to maintain that theme of adventure, and we'll see.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It'll probably be a record, though, in terms of attendance, because it keeps growing. When is it this year? So people can look into it, and where can they find out more info about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, it's the second week of August. Starts on August 10th. And we're actually expanding from a weekend to a full week. And people don't have to come for the full week, of course. And one thing we're doing that's different this year is the main stage event is already sold out. We usually sell out, you know, 6 months in advance or earlier. But, you know, because of that, we always have lots of people who want to participate and they can't get tickets. So this year we're doing something new called WDS Connect. And that's basically open to everyone. So you can go to worlddominationsummit.com/connect. And this is a different experience we're putting together where people can still participate in the app to connect with people, have lots of meetups, you know, focused on entrepreneurship, on travel, on all kinds of different topics, and they can come to the closing party, they can participate in some other activities, so they just won't be able to be part of the main stage if they don't have a ticket already. But this is like a lower price ticket so that more people can participate in all kinds of other stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Now, I want to start talking about some of your work and getting into your new book, Born for This, which is great. I have a copy right here in my hands right now.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for the early copy, by the way, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what other people think about it. So you've done a lot of great pieces that have been shared, New York Times bestsellers and manifestos. Your first one was called, or the one that I remember at least, is 279 Days to Overnight Success. And that was a piece that you wrote for your blog at The Art of Nonconformity in your audience. And that kind of went viral in a sense. People loved it. Can you give us a gist of it, you know, because it's been a long time. Can you recap what exactly that means? I think the title says it all, but can you give us the lowdown on that?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the word viral, because I think, you know, in 8 years of publishing things online, maybe that and maybe one other thing that I've done, you know, could be qualified as viral, because most of what I've done is just kind of been consistently putting stuff out, you know, which is like what you've done as well. And I think that is the best long-term strategy. And you can't really have a strategy for going viral.
Right.
It just kind of happens. But I think with that manifesto, you know, at that point I had been blogging, you know, for just about a year. And my initial intent was not necessarily to start a business with it. Like I had owned a business before, I'd been an entrepreneur, but my blog was initially set up just to kind of chronicle my quest to visit every country in the world. And I started paying attention to all these people were asking the same kind of questions all the time. I think it's really important, like if people are asking you the same kind of questions, pay attention, because it's showing you a couple of things. You know, it's showing you that people like recognize you as this authority in a certain area, and they also have this desire for information. So you know, this desire for information that's valuable to them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had created a couple of products just very, very carefully and deliberately. It wasn't like a high sales approach. But within a year, you know, I was making like a decent living. It wasn't a huge amount of money, but it was like $50,000, you know, a year at the time. And I was like, this is great. Like, this is fantastic. And so what I wanted to do with that manifesto was kind of chronicle the journey, like step by step, which of course you've done as well. You know, just showing people exactly how I did it and deconstructing it and showing the mistakes, you know, showing the missteps, but also the things that had worked well. And to me, it was like a celebration of independence. You know, for me, like that's why I became an entrepreneur in the first place, is like I valued freedom and independence more than anything else. And I wanted to find a way to create that for myself. And so the manifesto is showing, you know, hopefully showing other people how they could replicate that in their own way. Maybe not exactly the same way I had done it, but using a similar model for themselves.
And what was the purpose of writing it, like in terms of your overall business strategy, or was there even a purpose, sort of a long-term game with that?
I mean, it wasn't really strategic. The purpose was sharing helpful information. You know, I guess the purpose was adding value, right? And, mm-hmm. and people use this word value all the time. And like value just means helping people essentially. So if I could help other people, and you know, I had learned from lots of people, I had looked up to people who had come before me and tried to deconstruct their lessons, but they didn't really have a guide. Usually I just kind of had to figure it out. And so, you know, I guess and obviously maybe there's a little bit of ego to it too. Like I can't take that out of it. It's like, I wanted to grow my audience, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted more people to read. So that would be the only business strategy for it.
Yeah. It almost reminds me of my other book, Let Go, which was all about how mm-hmm. I got laid off and then became an entrepreneur, very similar. And, you know, I found that through that piece of work, it's done a great job of just honestly building a relationship a reader on the other end. And I know your manifesto has done the same, mm-hmm. Which is why and how you've been able to build such amazing raving fans who continue to come back to WDS, who buy every single book that you come out with. So before I get into, well, we talked about the $100 startup the last mm-hmm. time you're on the show, but I want to talk about your new one. But before that, I want to ask a selfish question, because I know you travel a lot. You mentioned you've hit every country in the world, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And you must know some travel hacking tips that you could easily share with the audience that would help those of us who travel a lot.
Sure. Well, that's kind of a big topic. You know, I write a lot about it on the blog, but basically travel hacking has allowed me to pursue that quest and made it much, much more affordable. You know, I don't know the total sum cost, you know, of going to every country in the world. I tried to figure it out once, but it was a lot, lot less than everybody thought. So I kind of learned to master frequent flyer miles and points in the very beginning. I did mm-hmm. lots of crazy stuff. I went to get like a hair loss consultation because they were going to give me 20,000 sky miles. I signed up for 17 credit cards in one day and, you know, to get the miles and points bonuses. And everybody said, oh, you're going to wreck your credit. And I didn't. Like, I actually, like, you know, posted my credit score, like, you know, each step along the way, and mm-hmm. I paid off all the balances and everything. So I would say, like, maybe that's one thing. If you can, you know, responsibly use credit cards, if you can open maybe not 17 in one day, but there's a, you know, if you can just get one or two, the bonuses that these companies are willing to pay now, they're often giving 40,000 points, 50,000 miles. And if you can creatively use these, most people just use those miles to, you know, fly to Kansas or wherever, and that's fine. But if you can use them on partner airlines, you can fly to Asia, you can fly to Europe, you can fly to Africa, and you can often fly in business class or first class. I just went around the world on Etihad. They have an apartment. It's literally called the apartment. It's an ensuite, you know, entire cabin, and they're in their first class from Sydney to Abu Dhabi, and that costs 60,000 miles. So 60,000 miles, as I just said, you can get from a single credit card. The annual fee is $79, you know, totally worth it for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. And I traveled hacked my way to the Philippines for Chris Ducker's Tropical Think Tank event a few years back. It literally cost me I was just spending what I normally spend on stuff. Yep. It was just the way I spent it mattered. I want to give a shout out to Matt from thematicmatt.com who really helped me through that process. Anyway, okay, so let's get into Born for This.
Okay.
Why did you write this book and who is it for?
Great question. I wrote this book for everybody who's like, okay, and I'm trying to find my way on this path. And there's something out there that I can do. I have the same desire for freedom and independence, probably like many of the listeners do. And maybe I'm 20, maybe I'm 30, maybe I'm trying to make a change later in life. How do I navigate that? And so I went through this maybe 2-year research process of looking at people who had been very successful. And when I say successful, I don't just mean wealthy, although that's important as well. But people who had great purpose and meaning in their life, they were doing something that they loved to do. It was financially viable. It used their skills. So I kind of wanted to see what do these people have in common, basically. Mm-hmm. And that was the goal. Like, let's extrapolate the common lessons, from people that we can kind of look at and say, that person is, it's not just that they're happy. It's not just that they're rich. They're clearly doing something that is really great for them. And it kind of makes them come alive and it helps other people as well. So how can we, apply that to our lives? That's the whole goal.
I love that. I love the title Born for This, because that's something you say when you're like, yes, this, I'm going to own this. Like, this is mine.
Right.
There's a lot of books out there about kind of finding your path. What do you feel makes this different?
Yeah. Yeah. I probably shouldn't have even said that, finding your path, let's go back, because as you said, finding your path, what I try to do is research based, it's fact based. I'm actually looking at, hundreds of different people. And as I said, trying to pull the lessons. And Born for This is kind of a provocative title in some ways, because people would say, is there only one thing that you're born to do? And and my answer is no, not necessarily. I think there's lots of different things you can do. And what I did see from these successful people is that they actually tended to make a lot of mistakes. And there's not many career mistakes you can make that you can't recover from. And they made mistakes. They were willing to kind of give up on something and go back to a different path or a different fork in the road. And they were willing to experiment. They were willing to do a lot of different things to kind of get closer to that. So, ultimately, I want to help people, whether they want to be entrepreneurs, whether they want to, apply their skills to a company or organization. The goal is to actually provide information that's not just, inspirational. Wow, that's a great book. No, I want people to, take action, to have something that they can do on every single page. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's the one thing I noticed when I flipped through it. It's very actionable, and for a kind of quote, find your path kind of book, it's very different. And so I'm glad you mentioned that. And, a lot of times when you see other people who are successful, you often think that they're lucky or they're at the right time, like right place, right time. Almost like, you feel like they're like, wow, they just won the lottery. They have it.
Yeah.
And why not me? Right. So how would you respond to somebody who's like, well, why can't I have that? Or it's just, it's, I got to stick with what I'm doing because I got to support my family, that sort of thing.
For sure. For sure. Well, I do think like luck and chance matters, like anybody who's listening, like you and I, we are very fortunate. Like we've had lots of lucky breaks in our lives. But we've also made choices. We've also made certain, active choices to get closer to that thing we're born to do, to have more freedom in our lives. And all of these people that I kind of looked at in the book, they often use that phrase lottery. They talked about, I feel like I won the lottery, and I would go to work every day, whether I'm just kind of going into my home office or actually going, somewhere. I would go to work every day, even if I didn't get paid for it. That's how much I like it. But fortunately, I don't have to. I do get paid for it, so that's great. And the thing about the lottery, like the real lottery, is it's not hackable. There's nothing you can do to improve your odds, in the lottery, as long as it's not rigged or something. But the career lottery is hackable. There are specific things you can do, whether you're trying to advance in your career, whether you're trying to quit your soul-sucking job, whether you're trying to grow a business. you know, as you know well, there are very specific strategies and tactics and tips that we can apply. And you can do these things, you know, now, and then a month later see results in whatever area that you're trying to work in. So, you know, those are the people that I'm trying to help. And so if you are out there listening, you're like, well, how does this help me? Well, I think, you know, you can basically turn the pages and there's something in every chapter that can help you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It sort of reminds me of, there's another book out there called Smart Cuts, which is one of my favorites, but it highlights a lot of like big time celebrities and how they've become, you know, who they are. And it wasn't just luck. It was through strategic relationship building, through, you know, self-branding and really being patient with it and being strategic. This one I like because it's not talking about those celebrities. I mean, I noticed Benny Sue is featured in here, who's a good friend of mine who, you know, he used to be an app designer and now he's selling t-shirts and making like six figures selling t-shirts. So
it's crazy. Yeah. He's selling t-shirts he doesn't even have his own audience for the most part. You know, he's reaching them all through Facebook ads, which is really quite a remarkable thing. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the thing about celebrities because this is something that kind of annoys me. It's very popular in popular business media. There's always these profiles of like famous business leaders. And it's like, hey, here's what Warren Buffett does every day. Right. If you do the same thing, you'll be like Warren Buffett, right? You know, here's what Mark Zuckerberg does. And if you do, you know, and that's totally unrealistic because like most of us don't have the resources, you know, that those people have. We don't have tens of thousands of people reporting to us that we can kind of, you know, boss around. We don't have the billions of dollars, you know, that Warren Buffett has. So we can't just ask like what works for, you know, Warren Buffett, what works for Mark Zuckerberg, or even what works for Pat Flynn. You know, we have to say like what works for us, right? So that's why I try to look at people like Benny, you know, who are just regular people. Like he's an awesome guy, but he's just a regular guy. And, you know, that's kind of my market is people who are like, okay, I have a job or maybe I've dabbled in entrepreneurship a little bit, but you know, I'm trying to go to the next level. You know, what do I do? I mean, those are the people I'm trying to reach.
And for those of you who don't know Benny, you could find him at getbusylivingblog.com. Okay. So for those people out there who are listening, who have yet to find their thing, how would you guide them to find their thing or what maybe one or two chapters relate to that?
Absolutely. So I use this model throughout the whole book. This emerged through the research. It's this model called joy, money, and flow. And what I saw is that, you know, people want to do a variety of different professions. Everybody has different career goals. But what these things have in common is pretty much everyone wants to find the intersection of these three qualities. And so joy is pretty self-explanatory. It's something that you enjoy to do, something that you like to do. Money, something that's financially viable, something that's sustainable. So it's not a hobby. We're actually talking about something that produces income. And then the last thing is flow, which is the unique use of your skills. It's the kind of work you do where you get lost in it. Maybe a couple of hours can go by. You don't even pay attention to the clock. It's something that other people find difficult sometimes, but for you, it comes naturally. And so the whole goal is essentially like, what can we do to get closer to this intersection? And maybe we don't get there tomorrow, you know, but that is the goal. And if we look at people who are really successful, whether they're celebrities, you know, or just people that we know in our circle, we can kind of see like they actually have hit all three of these things. They don't just have two. They haven't just settled or compromised. They have kind of gotten closer to that.
Love that. I love that. Joy, money, and flow.
Yeah. So, hey, let me say one more thing, just practical. So if you're like, wow, that sounds great, that's really big, like how do I do that? Here's what you can do. You know, every single day, you know, at the end of the day, you just get out your journal and you answer a couple of questions. You're like, you know, today, what did I do that gave me energy? And what did I do that drained my energy? And you know, this sounds like a woo-woo question, but it's actually very practical.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at, okay, here are the things that kind of made me come alive. Like, how can I do more of that tomorrow? And even if you have a job or something, you're like, well, I don't have 100% autonomy over my time. Well, that's fine. But you probably have some degree of selection and choice. So wherever you have that, you know, let's focus on those things that do make us come alive. And if you're trying to do a side hustle, you're trying to like, you know, get your business going, you know, same kind of thing. Like what makes me come alive and what are people responding to? How can I do more of that, less of the negative things?
Are there any places that somebody could see externally from themselves that maybe this is something that they were supposed to do? I mean, there's a great part of the book that you talk about, you know, looking in your inbox to actually find some answers.
Yeah. And the answer in your inbox, right? So we touched on this briefly when you asked about like, you know, how I kind of got started with the blog and all that. I didn't have this business strategy, but I noticed that people were asking these same kind of questions. So there's this whole strategic practice, you know, it was called the 100-Person Project. It actually came from Shanae Howard. And Shanae was starting out as an entrepreneur. And she was moderately successful, but not quite like where she wanted to be. And, you know, she was doing some general kind of consulting. And, you know, what I've seen over and over with entrepreneurs and coaches is that general consulting isn't so great usually, because it's what everybody's doing. Like, everybody's a life coach, you know, everybody's a business coach. But the more you can find some kind of specific skill or focus, and like, this is actually how I help people, this particular thing. So the way that she did it was she went out and talked to 100 people. She actually set up these 15-minute phone calls over the course of a couple of months and talked to 100 people. And she went through a script. It was all focused on helping them, so it wasn't just about her. But over time, like, she kind of, you know, honed in on what she was really good at. And by the time she finished, you know, she actually developed a product. She launched the product. You know, a lot of those people she had helped bought the product, but, you know, also it went far beyond that as well. So listening, you know, asking active questions. Also, sometimes the people around you may be able to identify, you know, what those skills are better than you can. So if you're in a company or you otherwise do some kind of group work, you know, and you're in a meeting and people are like passing around tasks and they're like, oh, you know, this task, Pat should do this. Like, let's give this to him because he's going to do a good job with it. It's almost like the rest of the group is recognizing your strength. Mm-hmm. The rest of the group is like, you know, let's give that to him. So what can we, you know, what can you take away from that?
Love that. Now, for somebody who finds their thing, they're like, yes, this is what I want to do. There's joy, there's money there potentially. And whenever I do it, I get into the flow. Maybe they have a job, but they're doing this thing on the side. How does one transition from thing on the side to then going full time? There's a lot of avenues and ways to kind of dance that dance.
Yep, for sure. Well, first of all, let's say I'm a huge, huge fan of building something on the side, like while you have, you know, the day job. I mean, I think like people have this dichotomy often. They're like, well, I got this day job, but like, I'm going to quit tomorrow and like jump off the cliff. And, you know, if you're like 22 years old, you don't have a family, you very well might be able to do that. That's great. Like, if you have a job and it sucks and you have no other responsibilities, why don't you quit it? Right. And just figure out what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But not everybody's like that, of course, you know, and people do have responsibilities. So one of the best things you can do, I think, even if you love your job, right, is to actively build this side hustle. And even if it's not making a huge amount of money, like what I've seen, I'm sure many of your listeners as well, it's disproportionately satisfying. You know, it's incredibly rewarding. Like, the first time you get $50 in your PayPal or something, like, it's just great, right?
$1.18
in
AdSense would change everything for me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've been there too. Like, and even if I start like a new venture, like, I get super excited over $10 or whatever. So once you have that, I think that produces a lot of confidence. And, you know, as for like when you quit your day job, you know, to pursue your side hustle, I mean, that's almost a question of viability. And, okay, how is the side hustle going? Is this the right one? Should you start something else? You know, what is the income level that you need? Maybe the income level is not the replacement level. Maybe it's not the same as what you get in the job. Like, you know, the question is, can you be frugal for a while, live on a little bit less, but, you know, devote your time to building the business, which hopefully will eventually, you know, bring much more. But that's a good place to be in, right? I think the main challenge, you know, for most people is getting to that place.
Yeah.
And once you're there, it's like, it's kind of like the problem of like paying your taxes. Like, oh, I made so much money, I have to pay my taxes. Well, it's a good problem to have.
Right. Well, how about, okay, another scenario I'm imagining is somebody's has a side hustle, it's starting to grow, their income starts to exceed their 9 to 5, and but they still like their job, they like the people there, they like their boss. But, you know, how do you navigate that transition? Or is there is there a way to let yourself go where everybody's still happy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of my favorite stories, you know, is from this guy who actually did exactly that. And he had this travel business that he started as a side hustle, like 1 hour a day, ended up making 6 figures, you know, without him spending too much more time on it. It was like a, you know, dream scenario. But he also loved his job. And, you know, his job was like, you know, he worked differently in his job. And this is something I saw that was really critical. People often focus a lot on profession, like this, I want to be a web developer, I want to be an engineer or a designer or whatever. And we don't spend enough time thinking about how we work and our ideal working conditions. So that's things like how we like to spend our time and what kind of schedule we want and how much time we like to spend with others versus how much time we want to work by ourselves, how we like to be rewarded, incentivized, all that kind of stuff. It's just as important as figuring out like what your profession is. So in his case, like he really valued the social environment, you know, of being at the job as opposed to just kind of sitting in front of his laptop all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So for 3 years, he did both of those things, you know, and he said, you know, I go to work every day because I want to go to work, not because I have to. And I thought that was really powerful because it's like, if the situation changed, then he's like, I got my side business, which is actually, you know, making more money than the day job, which was also well paid. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of like saving all that money. But then after 3 years, you know, he did decide, okay, I'm going to go full time into the business. And so he made a transition, you know, he made sure he did it over time and, you know, trained other people. So it was like the best of both worlds. So to me, the whole goal is not necessarily become a full-time entrepreneur. The whole goal is opportunity and possibility and creating that for yourself. And then, right, then you can make those decisions. Then you are in this great place. Okay, I can do this. I can do this because I've expanded my options. But if you don't have options, you know, then you feel kind of limited. So one of the best things you can do is say, how can I get more options?
Mm-hmm. Love that. If somebody were to ask you, Chris, what do you do? How do you respond?
For me, I say, I mean, it depends on the context, but I usually say I'm a writer. You know, writing books is probably my main thing, writing books in the blog. So I'm a writer, traveler, and entrepreneur. You know, I produce the events. I do a lot of different stuff, and it hasn't been strategic, as we said, from the beginning, but I love what I do. I feel very fortunate.
As a writer, how do you get into the flow?
Well, I'm not a big fan of like, you know, I'm being inspired, I guess, or like getting into the flow. Like, to me, I'm a big fan of like sitting down and like, okay, now I'm going to get to work. And it doesn't always work that way. Like, I definitely struggle and get stuck with things. But because I feel fortunate, like I feel like I have a great job, basically, then I do try to take that responsibility seriously. I create routine. You know, I travel a lot, but when I'm home, I pretty much do the same thing every day. You know, I don't go out. I try to limit my meetings. I don't watch TV. You know, I don't know. I just kind of sit in front of the computer and try to make something happen. And it's not always good. You know, in fact, much of the time it's not. But ultimately, like, you know, I have deliverables I have to complete. I have a deadline and those things help.
You have this tour coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Or you might have gone on it already by the time this episode goes live. But how do you prepare yourself for something like that? Because, you know, I'm starting to write books now too. I know a lot of people in the audience want to write books and they see people go on tours to help promote their books, and then their book becomes a New York Times bestseller. Do the tours actually help you become, you know, get more exposure? What's the purpose of the tour, and what's it kind of like?
Okay, yeah, very good questions. I don't know that there is a 100% direct correlation between, you know, like going on a big book tour and then, you know, whatever success you want to see, New York Times, you know, number of copies sold, you know, bigger advance or something. But for me, I kind of look at the bigger picture of like everything. And so it goes back to what you said in the very beginning, building relationships. And, you know, you can build relationships online, but I think it's really powerful to actually go in person and build relationships. That's why we do the events like WDS. And so for me, from the very beginning, like when I wrote my first book, like I didn't have a big book deal. It was a pretty small deal. It was like a mid-sized publisher. And, you know, I was like, hey, like I want to do a book tour. And they were like, well, we don't have money for that. Like, nobody does that anymore. You know, that's the common response, right? And so I put it together myself. I was like, well, I will do my own book tour, you know? And so I worked with my readers. So I just put it out, like, on my blog. Like, hey, everybody, like, I want to go on tour. Like, where can I go? And so I did all 50 states. You know, that was, like, the very first book tour. I went to all 50 states. I really believe that it mattered. You know, I believe, like, if I'm going to, like, all these different places, like, you know, in big states, of course, there's a lot of folks there, but even in small states, I feel like I'm creating these connections, you know, and I feel like, you know, I did that, I don't know, it's been like 5 or 6 years now since then. Some of those people are still with me now, you know,
and
some of those people have followed all that's all along, and they've supported me, they've helped in different ways, you know, and so to me, that's what it's about. And as for what it's like, it's kind of intense. You know, I'm doing 30 cities on this tour. So I think, you know, probably when people are listening, if they're listening right when this goes out, I'll be about halfway through. So I still got a bunch of stops, and it's pretty much one city a day. You know, like I don't take a lot of breaks, and I'm really, really focused on the events that I do in those cities. So I don't actually do a lot of sightseeing. Mm-hmm. Like I've traveled like my whole life. So for me, it's not necessarily about, oh, I'm in Chicago, let me do some tourist, you know, things. It really is focused on, okay, I'm going to go to Chicago and we're going to have this event tonight, and we're going to, you know, have a great conversation, and we're going to facilitate, you know, entrepreneurs and non-entrepreneurs and different people meeting each other and sharing stories. That to me is very rewarding. So it's not like I collect a paycheck at the end of the night or whatever, but it is still very rewarding. And I do believe like over time it connects, you know, with success in my career.
Do you have, are these all at bookstores or are they at kind of different locations or venues?
Yeah, it's like half and half. It's half and half. Okay. I do like traditional books, so I want to support bookstores, but we also do like co-working spaces. You know, I've been in some businesses, some corporate spaces, like yoga studios, Pilates studios, like did like a heavy metal concert hall in San Francisco once, which was pretty cool. I did a grocery store in Minneapolis, and that was pretty random. So I'm trying to avoid any grocery store gigs in the future.
Yeah, at least you won't go hungry, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
During it. So, okay, so you're traveling essentially during the day and just pretty much arriving and then going to the venue and then sleeping, traveling the next day. Is that kind of what it normally is like?
Yeah, pretty much. There's like some media and stuff. Like usually in every city I'm doing like the local public radio show and maybe a couple of other things. And then the main thing is like, I'm also keeping up with my regular stuff, you know, or at least trying to, and like, I always fall behind, but you know, I still have like the blog, I still have my other business stuff. Like I'm out on the road for 2 months, but we're still trying to plan WDS. And fortunately I have a great team, you know, of people in Portland, but I work with them virtually. So I'm still doing all of that as well.
Do you have a PR person that helps you with all this stuff?
No, I have an assistant, and she's great, but, and then the publisher has a publicist as well. But I would say the vast majority of like big media that I've had, and I haven't had a ton, like I said, for most of my success, it's just been like day to day chipping away at stuff.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of like the really big stuff has come to me directly rather than like us pitching something.
That's awesome. Chris, thank you so much for all this information. It's really cool to kind of get the behind the scenes of how you're putting this all together. And of course, the book is fantastic. Where can people go and pick up Born for This?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pat. They can go to bornforthisbook.com. Of course, they can get it on Amazon or any of their local bookstore.
Very cool. And where can people find more information about you?
Yeah, I'm at chrisguillebeau.com, which no one can ever spell. But if you just type something like Chris Guillebeau into Google, it will come to me, or Chris Guillebeau on all social networks.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Chris, thanks for joining us and for coming back on the show and for sharing your wisdom with us. We appreciate you and wish you all the best of luck with this book.
Dude, it's a huge honor. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Chris Guillebeau from chrisguillebeau.com and, of course, bornforthisbook.com. Born for This, go ahead and check it out. And really, if you are struggling with trying to figure out what it is that you're supposed to do, this book will be the guide to help you figure that out. So again, bornforthisbook.com. And Chris, I know you listened to the show. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you. And continue on, keep going, and I wish you all the best with the tour that you're on right now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really appreciate you. If you want to get the links and the resources mentioned in this particular episode, head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session211. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/session211. And I also wanted to share that there's actually no sponsors for this episode because I cleared the way to make one quick announcement. And that is, if you haven't yet picked up my own book, I mean, the one thing I got, you know, that I didn't mention in the interview, but also have really paid attention to Chris on a lot about, which is his book writing journey. He's been a definite inspiration for that too. And as many of you know, I came out with my own book earlier this year. It went on to become a Wall Street Journal best-selling book as a self-published book. That was absolutely huge, unexpected. And I want to thank all of you out there who have supported Will It Fly in one way or another. Will It Fly, how to test your next business idea so you don't waste your time and money. Actually kind of goes along with Born for This from Chris. So those two could go hand in hand with each other. And if you have yet to pick up my own book, please head on over to willitflybook.com. You could pick it up on Kindle, paperback, and the Audible version is available too. And if you have yet to pick up Audible to listen to books, I highly recommend it. Definitely something you'll be interested in, especially if you love listening to podcasts like this one. And if you sign up, you get, you can get Will It Fly for free because you get a free credit. So you can actually listen to the book for free, get a 30-day free trial. Again, you can get that all at willitflybook.com. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I look forward to serving you in the next episode where we actually talk to another person who comes on the show, not to share a success story, but actually ask me some questions like we did back in episode 191 back in December of 2015, which was not a success story, but a coaching call. So we're doing that again in the next episode. Somebody comes on and asks a few questions, so you'll be a fly on the wall and be able to listen in. So that's something that I'm going to be sprinkling into more of the episodes in the future. That first one I did in 2015 was with Robert Kidd from themusclecarplace.com. You might remember that now, if for those of you who have been listening for a while. And that got a lot of great feedback. People loved that format. We're doing it again. Again, I'll be doing a coaching call and just kind of trying to weave my way through this person's brain to help them figure out what to do next. And you'll be able to listen in. So I look forward to sharing that with you next week. Until then, keep pushing forward, keep moving that needle, keep focusing on that next task that you have to focus on. And I know that you will make progress. I appreciate you. See you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen. Another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuchman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about. There's lots of names you'll surely recognize on the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show, and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.